702.
WhatsApp Weekend Breakfast
on 072-702-1702.
Right, the story that has been bubbling around for some time now, and there seems to be no happy resolution, certainly when it comes to South Africa. The ICC arrest warrant of Vladimir Putin and the impact it's having on South African relations. We've just got a WhatsApp note from Paul. He says, NATO and US must stop acting like they own this world. South Africa must do away with anything concerning ICC until Obama is arrested and tried for Gaddafi's murder and other Western leaders tried for invading and destroying other nations. Until then, the Russian president is welcomed here any day, any time. That's Paul from Brakpan. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I think if the ICC is going after anybody bad, why should we put a halt on that until they find all the people that they have to round up? And there certainly are many out there that needs to be rounded up. Let's bring in Mandla Lionel Isaacs, a political economist. Very good to have you with us. Mandla, can you hear me? Ah. We've lost Mandla and...
I'm here.
There we go. Mandla, go ahead.
Good morning, Jane, and to your listeners.
Good morning. Here we are. It's about the 394th day of the attack on Ukraine. The International Criminal Court has issued a warrant of arrest. And South Africa is saying, you know what? Even though we are signatory, Putin is welcome here. What are we thinking?
Well, in fairness, Jane, the ICC is a relatively new institution in international relations. And, without going too deep into international relations theory, I mean, the core problem of international relations is, unlike in our society where we have the state, which has a monopoly on the use of force, in theory, and can police all of us according to rules we've agreed to subject ourselves to, in the international state system, all states are equal. All states are sovereign and responsible for their own affairs. And there's never really been a really effective solution to hold states accountable for breaking rules, rules and principles of international relations. So, I think the ICC has a difficult task. As far as I'm aware, a sitting head of state has never been arrested according to an ICC warrant. And frankly, the idea that the head of a nuclear-powered state, a state with nuclear weapons that's a member of the UN Security Council, is going to be arrested, frankly, by anyone is laughable. It's more of a symbolic move to really indicate that the Russian forces have committed war crimes. But unfortunately, I think it would be unreasonable and unrealistic for anyone to expect any country, South Africa or otherwise, to arrest President Putin if he was to appear on their soil.
Sure. So arrest off the cards, certainly in South Africa. We saw it with the former Sudanese leader who was welcome here despite the ICC arrest warrant there. If South Africa is not going to arrest him, what impact will it have on them saying he's welcome?
Well, I mean, that goes to one of the core issues, which is how we've dealt as a country with this conflict. It's really exposed, in my view, the incoherence of the ruling party in relation to our foreign policy. On a principle basis, for example, Jane, if you ever get the opportunity to interview President Ramaphosa or Minister Pandor, I'd love for you to ask them if we acknowledged Ukraine's borders in 2014, before Russia invaded Crimea, or even 13 months ago before they invaded this time, because if we had relations with Ukraine as a sovereign country and we recognized their border, how can we then find no problem with another country, taking 20 or 30% of its territory to increase its own perceived security when Ukraine posed no threat to that country? So, from a principled basis, the equivalence we've drawn to make it seem as if, you know, this is a war between a war between two parties, as opposed to an invasion and a war of aggression and choice by Russia, has been exposed. Our independence and non-alignment has been exposed. You know, we try to cover ourselves by saying, oh, we're trying to remain non-aligned, global south. Interestingly, India, a fellow BRICS partner, which is, you know, one of the founders of the non-aligned movement, and actually has bought arms from Russia in the past, so has had quite close relations with Russia, has been more honest in condemning Russia's belligerence, as has Brazil gone a little farther, although Lula has sort of pulled that back. And then finally, I would just say, I mean, it's quite clear that, you know, we're in a bit of a bind because, you know, we have the world's highest unemployment. We haven't grown for a decade plus. And the kinds of industries that we're trying to grow, we actually export more of those types of goods to America, which gives us preferential access to AGOA, and to Western Europe. We export negligible trade to Russia, and yet we seem to privilege our relationship with Russia above almost all else.
I mean, I did get a chance to speak to Naled Pandor, but before this happened, and I said to her, you know, our foreign policy is confusing, particularly when it comes to Russia. And she said, you don't understand, you and the media don't understand. So I said, no, we actually don't understand. And I'm wondering, to what end are we playing this game? I mean, trade, as you said, it doesn't even feature in the top five Russia, imports and exports. So why are we taking this stance? Surely it's more than don't tell us what to do. And at what cost? I mean, I think we've just, we haven't even felt the impact of this stance.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this has to do with it has to do fundamentally with the ANC's ideological positioning and worldview. They see the world very much through Cold War lens. Even though, curiously, solidarity and sanctions in countries like the United States that were actually pivotal in the apartheid regime, realizing that they had to negotiate with the liberation movements. But it comes down to the ANC's ideology and worldview. I've seen some analysts trace potential business ties between either the ANC or ANC-linked figures and Russian figures. You know, I'm not sure what that potentially has to do with it, but I think it's incoherent, and I think it's fundamentally misunderstands our interests. As I say, Jane, you know, let's check back in a couple of years. Every few years, when AGOA has to be renewed, the ANC suspends its anti-West, you know, talk, and then has a diplomatic flurry of activity to try to convince U.S. policymakers to extend access to AGOA because they understand that the export opportunities and therefore job opportunities that means for our country. But you know, when AGOA renewal is not on the block, then the ANC feels confident, mm-hmm. confident to continue with its kind of Cold War oriented worldview.
Colin has been in touch and says, I can't believe so many of our listeners have no issues with allowing war criminals responsible for the slaughter of thousands of innocent people into our country. I mean, we've also had that very mixed message. For example, the Dalai Lama, you know, peace loving, is not allowed into South Africa, where somebody like Putin is more than welcome. South Africa says that they're taking legal advice ahead of the BRICS meeting. I mean, who would they turn to, and what sort of advice would they get that might appease them?
It's just a way to play for time. Mm-hmm. You know, the reality is that look, I mean, there's no question that there are political, these are great political questions behind the scenes. I mean, we're in a new era of great power competition, you know, primarily between the U.S. and China, but, Russia, which still thinks of itself as a great power, and frankly is a great power in nuclear terms, likes to see itself as a competitor to the kind of Western liberal world order. But, you know, the reality is that it's a way to play for time and to kind of deflect. But of course, I mean, I do not I wouldn't say to you, Jane, that, you know, if I was advising President Ramaphosa on international relations, that I would say to him that he should arrest President Putin. I mean, frankly, that's not going to happen. Whether he was coming here, Brazil, India, China, or anywhere else, I don't think there's any country that was going to arrest him. Frankly, if he was bold enough to go to a UN meeting in New York, and the UN, of course, is you know, seen as like sovereign territory, and heads of states can go, can visit the UN without sort of being perceived to be on U.S. territory through kind of complicated diplomatic arrangements. Even if he was so bold enough as to go to the UN for a UN General Assembly meeting, I can assure you that the United States is not going to arrest him either, even though, of course, it's not a signatory to the ICC, but the ICC can direct the arrest warrant to the UN Security Council, which, of course, Russia could veto. So, I mean, I think the arrest is neither here nor there. It's more symbolic, but really just exposes the kind of countries that we choose to align ourselves closely to as a country with a deep tradition of human rights. And, you know, sadly, under apartheid, we and the ANC in particular said to the world, you know, the apartheid regime said to the world, you know, we are a sovereign country. Don't get in our business. We should be able to do whatever we want to do within the borders of the Republic of South Africa. And the ANC said, no, we want the world to intervene on principled reasons, on human rights reasons. And we now support countries like Russia that say to the world, you know, nothing to see here. Might makes right. Human rights are meaningless. And we should be able to do whatever we feel like doing if we feel that advances our country's security interests. And that's who President Ramaphosa and his government have chosen to align themselves with, unfortunately.
And we're going to have to leave it there. Mantla Lionel Isaacs, very good to talk to you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.